Hey, yo, you ready? Let's do it.
What it is, everybody? Welcome to episode 29 of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. Actually, back in the country is my main man and favorite piece of shit.
Connor McDowell! Ah, ah, ah. Stay alive!
How was your trip, Connor?
It was pretty good. Got to sit on a boat for 10 days, saw some fish, saw some trees and shit. I drank a lot of alcohol as well. I drank a lot of booze.
Well, that was predicted, so.
Yep. Well, it was fun. They had fish bowls. And cocktails, and I was like, ooh.
Did you go snorkeling?
Just a little sip. I went snorkeling quite a few times, actually. It was amazing.
Snorkeling's like, fucking pimp, man. I really
It was straight up banging.
Awesome. So, was too long, long enough?
Ah, my God. 10 days is a long time on a boat. I tell you what. It was great fun, but there does get a point where you're like, all right, I'm ready to get back into the thick of it.
Yeah.
There's only so many times you can walk around the top deck before going, dear God, what am I doing?
Yeah, right. I've always felt like a week would probably be a good...
7 days, yeah.
I haven't done a cruise, but like I know people who go on like 3 week cruises, and I don't know. Do you stop off anywhere? Did you stop off anywhere?
Yeah, we stopped off. We went snorkeling. We stopped off at like 4 different spots. So
like
we
got out in the middle of the sea, or like did you like stop at
no,
an
no,
island?
No. We stopped off at Vanuatu and New Caledonia as well. So
yeah, cool.
We stopped off a bit, but I mean, like, those days were great, you know, being off in the islands. That's like, you're like, fuck yeah, new sights and stuff. But when you're, you're on the boat and,
out at
and
sea.
It's a long time, you know, that's 7 days we're on a boat.
Yeah.
That's a full week.
Yeah, right.
It's an intense amount of time.
Shit.
Yeah.
Did they have a cinema on there? Did you get to watch any movies?
Nah. Oh, I did watch some movies. We just watched in my room a lot of the time. We were recovering from a hangover or...
Yeah.
Not feeling too crash hot, so we were watching movies. I watched Dark Knight Rises. Nice. I saw True Grit. Not the end of True Grit, though, because I ended up doing something.
Oh, how could you not finish True Grit? Have you seen True Grit before?
No. Nah,
fuck it. Did you like it, though?
From what I saw, yeah,
how
it was good.
How good is Jeff Bridges in True Grit?
Jeff Bridges is the man. Matt Damon's good, too.
Yeah, actually, that whole cast is incredible.
What else was there? There was a couple of other films that we saw. Dark Knight Rises, though, I saw that, and I was just reminded me of how much I don't like Dark Knight Rises. I really don't like Dark Knight Rises.
I love Dark Knight Rises. I think it's so good. Actually, on True Grit, I saw a film called The Homesman just recently. When I went to Japan earlier in the year, I picked up the novel for it. And it's got Tommy Lee Jones and Hilary Swank in it. And at the airport, I saw this novel and I saw this picture of Tommy Lee Jones. I'm like, what the fuck's this? How have I not heard of this? This looks great. It's like a cowboy fucking movie. And at the time I was real into Westerns. So I gave it a read and thought it was pretty good and found out that the film was going to be released in March at some point. You know, March has come and gone and it's sort of didn't really pop up on any of my, you know, now showing lists. And I was kind of like, what the fuck? How am I going to see this? I said, if anywhere, like I'm in Melbourne now, if anywhere in Australia is going to be playing, it's going to be fucking here.
You're going to find it,
I managed to find one cinema that was playing it one session a day and snuck off to see it. And it was really good. I really enjoyed it. Tommy Lee Jones directed it as well. He and plays the main character. He played it, played it a bit differently to what I thought it was like portrayed in the book, but he did it really well. But it reminded me a lot of True Grit, and that's where I was kind of going with this. In terms of the feeling of the film, it's not quite as funny. It doesn't have the comedy that True Grit brought. It's more straight drama sort of thing. Because the film's about Hilary Swank's this, like, you know, barren woman who doesn't have a husband or anything, and she back in the frontier times of America, transports this wagon full of crazy women across the frontier to some big town where there's an asylum. It's kind of like the journey on the way, and she picks up Tommy Lee Jones, who's like a drunk, and gets
Jeff Bridges sort of character.
Yeah, so, yeah, very similar. But I couldn't help but make the comparisons, which is a good thing because I really, really like True Grit. It'd be up there with one of the best movies of the last few years for me.
It won Best Picture, didn't it?
It might have. I'm not sure. I think it. I don't know. I'll have to look into that one. I know it was definitely nominated.
I'm pretty sure it won. I'm almost certain it won.
I think it might have too. I remember the
I'm conveniently on a computer. Let me have a look. True Grit.
I know the Coen Brothers. They won for No Country for Old Men. I don't know.
Coen Brothers don't give a fuck, man. I don't understand how they make the movies they make. They're so good.
Yeah.
Like, my God.
I didn't see. What was it in? What was their latest one?
Inside Llewyn Davis.
No. Did you see that one?
That's good.
Yeah.
It's all good. All their movies are good. Really.
This is true. This is true. I don't know if it did. I think the old...
My God, it was nominated for 10 Academy Awards. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay, Best Actor in a Leading Role, Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Best Art Direction, Best Cinematography, Best Costume Design, Best Sound Mixing, Best Sound Editing. Holy fucking shit.
And
I don't know what it won, though.
I was just going to say, edit won nothing? Is that where you're going with this? Because that would suck.
I don't think it won anything.
Well, that chick,
Oh, no, it won Best Picture.
It did win it.
Oh, no, but won none. Sorry, it won none.
Fake out.
Fuck!
Holy shit. Yeah, I didn't think it won. I know back in the day, in the original True Grit, when John Wayne played it, he finally won an Oscar for playing that role of Rooster Cogburn.
Oh, really?
And it was kind of like, oh, it'd be cool if Jeff Bridges won one as well, you know? But he didn't.
It won Best... Hurt Locker won Best Picture.
Ah, it was that year. Shit. Yeah, great film. But it... and The Homesman was really good. If you can track it down, you like Westerns. It's not a bad one. I give it probably a 4 out of 5. So,
get up on it.
Solid. Did you get a chance to see Chappie at any chance?
Did not get any sort of chance to see Chappie. It literally came and went.
Yeah. Did you want to see it? You were pretty keen for it, weren't you?
I was, right. I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But
I feel like you would have hated it.
Somewhere. Yeah, do you reckon?
It's too close to RoboCop.
Oh, fuck.
It steals a lot from RoboCop, both the original and the...
How do you steal from fucking RoboCop? It's like stealing from a mentally deficient baby with one arm. Jesus, fuck RoboCop.
Fucking hell. It's things like they replace a lot of the police force in South Africa with robots.
Robotic cops.
And there's another bigger version of, you know, like the big mech looking ones out of RoboCop.
Yeah.
That's like Hugh Jackman's baby that he wants to get out, and it's got like all the guns and stuff, but it's kind of overkill, so the people don't want to get it out there. So it's very RoboCop, but I like that because I like RoboCop. So it was, but I what I really liked was watching the Die Antwoord or De Antwoord or whatever the hell you say the names that rap rave South African group. Their acting in it is fucking awesome. Like they're definitely not going to win any awards or anything, but like they really suited the roles of it. And
I've heard the opposite.
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah, I've heard the opposite.
What, people hating on it?
Yeah, hating on them.
Yeah, look, I could understand why they would, because they're pretty, you know, whatever. But I just found them really entertaining. And I actually, after watching the movie, I went and downloaded a bunch of their albums just because they were in that film.
So good, yeah.
And I really enjoyed what they brought. They're definitely not actors, but they kind of suited what they played.
Okay.
But Chappie's like fucking charming as like he's just like a beautiful little character.
Oh shit!
And there's been a lot of hate going around for the film, but it's probably one of my favorites of the year so far. I really really enjoyed it, and the more I think about it, the more I like it. But I'm hearing hate and I'm hearing love. There's kind of not really in between. So it's one of those ones.
It sounds like a Neil Blomkamp film, really.
Yeah, but...
love it, I hate it.
I always thought that everybody kind of was on the Blomkamp train. I just assumed everyone loved him because I... Like, you know, District 9 was pretty well received, and I thought everyone liked Elysium.
I didn't.
You didn't?
Ah, I just yawned. How rude of me. No, I didn't think everyone liked Elysium. I heard bad things about Elysium as well.
Have you seen it?
No. I don't watch movies.
What a stupid question. Yeah, I went back and watched Elysium after watching Chappie, and it's still just as good as I remember. It's a fucking fantastic film. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I can understand, like, it's a very specific style, and if you don't dig it, you're not going to get into it, but, did you see District 9, though?
Yeah! Okay. I love District 9.
Well, I'm sure you...
I also saw, on an unrelated note, I saw Step Brothers.
Yes!
I saw that last night. I had a friend over.
Nice.
And we were like, what should we watch? And I'm like, well, let me just boot up my internet flicks... My Netflix, my internet pictures, and see what I got. And Step Brothers was there, and we're like, fuck yeah, rip into it. Still probably one of the best comedies around of the 21st century.
Easily.
So fucking funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's just so quotable. Like, everything in it, yeah. It's so great. I wasn't fired. I was laid off. But you would know the difference. I didn't want salmon. Oh my God, it's so fucking
I thought it was going to be silent, but then it kept going and it made a sound.
Mom, I honestly thought he was going to rape me at one point. Oh my God. I'm not a raper.
The whole way through, yeah. There isn't a dull moment in that film. I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before, but I had Step Brothers on my phone. The movie actually on my phone. So when I worked at the cinemas, just about every break I had, I would watch a bit of Step Brothers.
Step Brothers,
and it would
yeah.
take me like, you know, 5 shifts to get through. But it didn't matter what part of the film I was watching. It was always entertaining.
Funny, yeah.
It's one of those ones. I put that and like Hot Rod in that realm as well. Like I can watch any part of Hot Rod, be entertained.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Sticks
and stones might break my bones, but I'm going to repeatedly kick you in the balls, Godaki. Fucking hell.
When the dad says that when he was a kid, he wanted to be a dinosaur. Dad, you can't be a dinosaur. You're a human being.
Robert, it's impossible. Robert, you're 17 years old. Stop pretending to be a fucking dinosaur. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so good. But that's a good kind of... you know, warm up for the film that we will be reviewing a bit later, Get Hard, because,
Get
you know,
Hard, yeah.
It's very, that's what I call Will Ferrell comedy, is Step Brothers. Like, that's his shit. That's what he does well.
I've realized it's unorthodox swearing is what is so funny about it. Like, it's just his ability to turn sentences into just cussing in the most unorthodox way.
You geriatric fuck!
Yeah, exactly. Like, it makes no sense. That is what he's good at. That is the sort of... Like, Anchorman relies on Will Ferrell saying things that just shouldn't be said in the way they're said.
So true.
It's just so ridiculous. Oh, it's what he does.
So true. That's why it's funny. But before we get on to Get Hard, let's talk a little bit about this internet movies that you're talking about. Let's talk about fucking Netflix. Which is finally in Australia.
Oh,
holy
boy.
Shit. And you've got it. I've got it.
Everyone's
I've been
got
spending
it.
Fucking hours on it already.
I spent all day today watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It plays it for you.
Yeah.
You literally hit episode one and it just streams.
It just keeps going.
It knows you want to binge. It knows you.
I know. I can totally understand why people this binge culture has come about since Netflix has come around. Because it does. It just goes straight into the next episode. And you're like, oh, well,
there's no ads.
I'm fucking here. I may as well. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I did see Brooklyn Nine-Nine there, and I haven't hit it yet, but
I do recommend it.
I do really. It's on my list for when I get a day to binge. I did watch
your Netflix list, because you can add movies to a fucking list now.
Yeah.
So you see them, you add them. Oh, I forgot. I didn't forget, because it's on my list in front of me.
I've been watching, there's another, it's like a Netflix exclusive. It's like what's it called? Something, something Grove.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's got like is it some Kimmy Schmidt or something?
It's got like a white cover with a creepy-looking dude on it. It's kind of like a supernatural thriller drama show. It's really cool, actually. I watched the first three episodes, and again, like, I was like, oh, I'll just check out the first one fucking three episodes later. Oh, shit. Yeah, I got to go do shit. And I've watched a fair few B-grade bullshit. I watched a film called Falcon Rising, which is just about this, like, this ex-marine who goes and kills a bunch of triads. it was so bad but so good at the same time. But it's I'm really excited that this video on demand style has finally come about. Like, it has been here. Like, you've had your T-boxes and your Apple TV and stuff where you can,
it's all been bullshit,
where you can, you know, get a video on demand, but you have to pay $6 a movie, which, you know,
it's
whatever, but nobody's doing that. Nobody's paying that. Every motherfucker is out there illegally downloading shit, and, you know, effectively, you know, not, you know, killing the industry to a certain extent. And it's I think this is like a saving grace, because people are willing to pay $12 a month to fucking get unlimited,
for a fucking unlimited stream of films. It's amazing.
You know, but my one thing is, I did get on there and I looked for certain films. Like, with Fast and the Furious 7 coming out next week, I wanted to go back and watch all the Fast and the Furious. They don't have them on there. But
now that's, there's a reason.
Okay.
But you go on.
What's your reason?
Well, it's the Australian Netflix, so it's just booted up. They said that when they boot it up, they're just going to start it up with what titles they can, and they're just going to keep adding more titles.
Well, this is what I thought. But I also thought that it might be a matter of, like, certain you know, providers would have rights to certain movies or certain distributors or something like that. Like, you know how, like, there's Stan is another one, and Presto are two other VOD platforms. Like, Stan has the rights to Better Call Saul, the, you know, the TV show, whereas Netflix doesn't have that, you know, sort of thing. So there's options for all these different things. So I'm assuming that might be the same with movies. I haven't done my research on this, but I'm sure
there are certain films that you cannot watch because other, or and shows that you cannot watch because other services have bought them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, the Australian Netflix only has 1,000 and something films and movies and shows, whereas the American Netflix has over 8,000.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we are going to get plenty, I'm sure.
We're
going to
get them. And what I think might be the way it goes also, if it is what the way I think it might, is it's at least with TV shows, I know it is. Like I said, you got Better Call Saul and Stan. Like, fuck, they're all only $10 a month anyway. So you can be paying $30 to have Stan, Presto, and Netflix. And then you have access to everything. You know, like, and that's just incredible. Like, people will pay that. Like, I would pay that. And it's like, it's simple and it makes it so easy. Like you said, it's just so easy to binge stuff. And it suggests films to you. So, like, you know, a movie comes up. Like, just the other day, that Falcon Rising bullshit just came up in a recommended for you thing.
I was like,
fuck, I'll give it a go. So, and it's also going to open more platforms for filmmaking, because, like, you know, there's Netflix exclusives and, like, Stan exclusives and fucking Presto exclusives, I'm assuming. And they're going to be filming things for their platform. So that's going to it's opening up a whole new platform for filmmakers to get out there and do shit. And
well, it's done wonders for the States with piracy and stuff. And it's like, the fucking Australian industry already is stupid, like, ridiculously dumb. And the logic behind what the Australian government are trying to do to stop piracy is fucking stupid. I've never wanted to just, oh my God, like, they're trying to block, you know, trying to block websites from us, you know, like, total violation of our rights and our use of the internet and just all this nonsense. And they pretty much are all just pushing the blame on us, saying we're fucking horrible and stupid and ruining everything because we're downloading films illegally and shows illegally. And it's like, are you fucking serious? Nobody wants to pay that amount of money for Foxtel. Nobody wants to pay that ridiculous amount of money for a fucking service like Foxtel or the fucking nonsense you're trying to supply us with, because it's stupid. It's ridden with commercials. You don't get to choose what you watch, and there are so many more convenient ways. I've got Netflix, and I'm like, holy fuck, I don't want to download anything ever again.
Yeah.
I'm supporting my industry. Everything's in front of me. It's so much more convenient. The quality is superb. I don't have to go through uTorrent. I don't have to download torrents, check for viruses or anything like that. It's all just fucking here in front of me. This is the future. And the other thing is, the Australian Netflix has exclusive Australian TV shows. We've got like Around the Twist.
Oh, cool.
And a bunch of other shit, which is fucking fantastic. And because we're not going to be given, I'm sure this will still happen, but we will not be given certain American television shows because we're given the episodes come out later there than they do here and blah, 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 all that nonsense.
Yeah.
Which kind of means that restriction from American television forces people to kind of watch Australian television, and the motive to watch it is right there in front of them because you've got Australian TV in front of you, which is amazing, which means our industry is going to rise from this as well.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy. Everybody's glad, except for internet service providers, because Netflix just fucks them in the batoot.
And Foxtel.
Foxtel, yeah. So I'm sure the fucking government will try and very soon come up with some bullshit asshat reason why Netflix is a horrible idea and nobody should have it. Someone will come up with it. Foxtel or something. Internet service providers, there'll be someone out there that'll just try and fuck this up for us. And I'm really fucking angry because I can see it happening.
Well, wasn't that the problem to start with? That's why it's taken us so long to get Netflix, is that it was getting fucked around by like Foxtel and the government and shit like that. Wasn't that the whole deal?
I'm sure it was.
And I think the fact that it's here now and so many people are going to be on it is going to, I think it should be okay now that we've got it. It's here. It's started. The ball's rolling. You know what I mean?
But they could get rid of it, right? Like they could get rid of Netflix.
Yeah.
Makes no fucking difference. We just go back to Pirate Bay. People just go back to downloading because.
That's exactly. It's stupid.
That's what fucking happens.
You're absolutely right. It's the convenience of it, which is going to help the industry, and it won't kill piracy by any means, but it's definitely going to fucking douse it. And I am so excited about that because I fucking hate piracy. I think I don't download, and it's like, I refuse to. I've bought my fucking movies off iTunes. I've bought, I go to the video stop all the time. I still try to support it in that way. I see all my movies at the cinema, like you do too. And it's like fucking, I still think I prefer that. But you're absolutely right. You don't have to go through the process of finding, the good quality fucking torrent or whatever. You don't have to find the servers. You don't have to go through. You don't have to fucking wait to download the fucking thing. You press play, it starts streaming on Netflix.
In
good
perfect quality too.
Oh, it's incredible.
Netflix is amazing.
And this is what I mean, like the convenience of it. It's the smartest thing that has ever been done in, so many years of film. And I'm really excited. I think there's a new dawn rising for us at the Australian film industry, and I'm excited to, get on.
I am ecstatic.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. This is a great step forward for fucking once.
Yeah. So
a great step forward.
So if
in
you're
a fucking backwards country, good for you. Jesus fuck.
If you're not on Netflix yet, fucking get on it. It's a 30 day free, trial at the moment. So there's no excuse. And in the end, it's $12 a month.
It's amazing.
Unlimited movies. Holy shit.
And they know you're going to share an account, and they understand, and you can do two streams. Like, they're like, yep, pay $12 and you can stream from two fucking machines at once, And then there's one you can pay even more, and it's like you can stream even more.
You can do like four, I think. So how does that work? Is it like you can only, is it like if I start playing it, I've got my smart TV which will play it, and then I've got my Apple TV which plays it. Once I play it on those two, is that it? Or is it
it's just
only at the same time?
At the same time.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, they're very clever. They're very smart. And they're going to make a fuckload of money out of this.
They without a doubt, will be making a ridiculous amount of money, which is excellent.
All right, well, let's move on to our review of the week. We haven't done a review for the last 2 weeks.
I know, I've been away on my boat.
What was the last one we did? Focus, I think it was.
Focus.
That feels like ages ago. Holy crap.
It does. It feels like a long time ago.
Well, for those who don't know, we're going to spoil the shit out of this movie. So if you haven't seen Get Hard, get out and go watch the fucking thing, or just listen to us talk about it and, you know, hopefully we can give you the best account that we can of the film.
Speaking of best account, plot synopsis. How about I don't do it this time?
God damn it. It's your thing, though. Well, this one's a pretty simple one, so I'll take it. It's so Will Ferrell plays James King, who is a what is he? He's like a he just says he's a millionaire. He's like a stock guy.
Statistical analysis.
Statistical analysis. James King is seemingly framed for a certain crime where people have lost a bunch of money. I don't really understand what happened there. I just know that he's going to jail. So
he's getting arrested for fraud.
Yeah, basically. So he goes on, and he's Will Ferrell. So he's a fucking bitch. he is Will Ferrell in Step Brothers. He's a baby. Hasn't lived in the real world. He's always been around successful people and money, and needs to basically get hard before he goes to jail in 30 days. Now, down in the garage of his building is Kevin Hart, who plays, what's his name?
Darnell,
who is a car washer. He washes the cars down in the...
Sorry, my PlayStation just woke up. Sorry, keep going.
He washes cars down in the garage of James King's building. Now... There's a scene at the start of the film where Darnell is trying to get some money to send his little girl to a better school. So he tries to hit up James for a platinum membership to his car wash business, but kind of scares him by tapping on the window, and James immediately jumps to the fact that he's either going to get raped or...
Shut up!
He's either going to get raped or... mugged just because of Darnell's demographic. With this in mind, when James gets done for fraud, he goes down to see Darnell and says he'll hire him to basically man him up, get him tougher so he can get ready for prison, because he just assumes that Darnell had been to prison, which he hasn't. He's like, you know, the cleanest gangster out there. He's got a family. He's like a straight
record's
shooter.
Clean.
Yeah, he's never even had a parking ticket, sort of thing. So basically it just goes through a bunch of fun little scenes where, you know, Darnell's setting up simulations of prison and trying to harden up James. As we get to the end, we find out that that James's boss has actually framed him and is going to, you know, take all the money for himself. And it was all like a big fraud in that instance to, you know, to fuck over James so the big dog could get some more money, even though he doesn't need much. And eventually James finds out that Darnell wasn't a full-on gangster, and it kind of goes into that little stress on the friendship because they become good friends as they go along. And you want to tag team this? I'm losing it.
He finds out Darnell's full of shit, and so he goes to join a real gang. And just before Darnell comes back, and he's like, "Look, man, we'll crack the case for you. We'll actually find out who did it, and we'll stop the boss man." So they end up having a final showdown on a yacht where Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart are trying to save Will Ferrell's name, and the cops end up coming thanks to Will Ferrell's ankle bracelet that had breached the perimeter, so a bunch of federal marshals were coming or something, and then they're there and they arrest him and the day is saved. And then Will Ferrell pulls out an illegal gun accidentally and he gets arrested for 6 months anyway. Yeah. But the day is saved and everybody is happy and the end of the story. But
because of his training that he went through, he was ready for those 6 months in prison.
He was ready for the 6 months.
Yeah, well, one thing, like, it's quite obvious with this kind of film, it's the clashing of cultures, which is a very popular thing for, you know, American comedies. You know, you've got your Rush Hours and other films of such nature. What I was really excited to see with this one was, you know, there's Will Ferrell's style of comedy, which is the whitest of the white comedy you can possibly get. Kevin Hart's like African American, you know, gangster sort of really full on intense comedy. So it was cool to see those two kind of clash. But I probably would say this is more of a Will Ferrell vessel than a Kevin Hart. I feel like Kevin Hart was still kind of, from what I've seen of his stand up and stuff like that, I don't know if I've seen a movie recently where he's really kind of been let off the leash.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean? Like there was that horrible Ride Along. That wedding, The Wedding Ringer. Did you see that one? Earlier in the year?
No.
Or was that late last year? I don't know. But he was kind of funny in that one. Like he's playing more of a Kevin Hart role in these especially in this film. But I still feel like it's not a Kevin Hart comedy. This is a Will Ferrell comedy.
Yeah, for sure.
Which isn't a bad thing.
Like
I said, this felt a lot. Like, it's obviously not even nearly in the same realm as Step Brothers, but it's in that same vein, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Which...
It's Will Ferrell just swearing...
unorthodoxly.
Just strangely, yeah, unorthodoxly. Yeah.
And I'm always down for that. Like, that. There's that scene where he's just doing all the... his tough talking. And he's just like...
Yeah, yeah.
Just swearing all over the place. And I'm like...
I'm gonna punch you right in the fuck.
Yeah. But I feel like I haven't seen Will Ferrell do a role like this for a while. Like I can't. What's the last? What else has he been in lately? Like there's the campaign. The campaign was around.
I did not enjoy that one very much.
Yeah, I didn't mind it, but I've kind of forgotten it. So, well, obviously, Anchorman 2.
Anchorman 2.
Like Lego Movie wasn't really like that. But I don't know. He hasn't really. I'm just looking at his lineup now, and it seems he hasn't really been doing much.
It doesn't seem like it.
Like the last like Will Ferrell movie was Anchorman 2 for me, and then probably before that would probably be maybe Step Brothers.
There's some good ones. Well, Anchorman 2, and then there's The Other Guys.
Yeah, The Other Guys. Yeah, sorry, The Other Guys is probably the last one before. You know, like he was doing this in every fucking movie from Step Brothers, you know, to Blaze of Glory to Semi Pro.
Fucking Semi Pro. Oh my god, what a movie.
But he hasn't really done this role for a while. So I was actually quite happy to see him come back to this star.
I agree.
And I thought that these two guys actually gelled really well. I think they had really good chemistry.
Kevin Hart, yeah, they did. They certainly got along well on camera, which was really good.
Yeah, I honestly thought, like, when I saw the poster for this for the first time, I was like, oh, you know, maybe it's a bit too much of a clash. But they
rocked it.
Like, and basically, like, let's be real. This movie is pretty much just them put in a scene and just bantering amongst each other.
Yeah,
from scene to scene. Like, there's them, you know, in the simulated prison yard. There's them sitting in the front of, you know, his truck, him trying to fight other guys. It's always like just them just talking, and it works so fucking well.
It does. Will Ferrell does what he does best in this, which is a lot of time. Like, some of the lines are great. At the start, it's still my favorite line when he realizes that he's going to jail, and Kevin Hart's with him, and he's just like, "Fuck, fuck a tit." It's just the funniest thing. Like,
fuck a tit.
Fuck a tit. Shit. Oh man.
So that's what he. Yeah, you're right. It's just him yelling is good enough. He could just yell the whole way through it, and I'm laughing.
I'm a softy for Will Ferrell. I'm an absolute softy. I can't get enough of him.
Yeah. I'm the same, and Kevin Hart's definitely becoming that way to me as well. Like I was saying, I still feel like he's been, you know, not really let go, but everything he does, I really like him. I just really like him as a person, and the characters he portrays. You know, Kevin Hart fucking nailed it in that scene where he's playing all the different stereotypes of the prison yard.
Yeah, that was great.
And he's jumping in between. Like, that could have been so stupid. And it, like, to me, on paper, that would have just, I would have been like, that's not going to work. That sounds dumb. Like, if you just told me about that scene right now and hadn't seen it, I would be like, nah, that sucks. That's stupid. Yeah. But it's, he was so funny in it. And it was just edited so well that, you know, that it worked. You know, jumping between being, you know, the gangster black guy to the Hispanic Carlos,
yeah,
to the gay guy, and then having conversations with himself over it. It's just really good.
That the Alison Brie was who I was going to bring up as well. God, she's attractive. My God,
is that the chick from Community?
Yeah,
yeah, she is so sexy. Holy crap,
she's a looker.
Yeah,
tell you what, she was good in this. She did a. Did her job.
Yeah.
A very boring role, quite well.
Yeah. And even John Mayer having his little bit in it.
Oh, yeah. Like,
hey, ever seen 100 women get wet at the same time? Watch this.
Jesus Christ. Will Ferrell comes in, just plays it perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So ridiculous.
It's just, yeah, a lot of fun. But one thing I will say, it's one of those comedies, like, we knew where it was going from the start. We all knew that they would become friends, and, you know, at the end, Will Ferrell, if he goes to jail, old mate's going to probably go see him in jail, get in with his family. You know, he's going to step away from this rich, snobby life and come down to Darnell's level and, you know, have a good time and be happy for once, instead of, yeah, he's got the hot chick and he's got the money, but how unhappy was he, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
He didn't have control of his life, whereas when he goes and joins a gang, you know, where he feels
Mayo.
his nickname's Mayo, where he's more accepted, you know, in this lower class community, wherever he was in the higher class. So, like, and I saw that coming from a mile away. And you know what? I didn't fucking mind. Like, I think I've brought this up before with comedies like this. They're formulaic, and it's their familiarity is comforting to me in a way.
Yeah.
I feel like, because I know where it's going, I can just relax and enjoy the movie for what it is.
It's a basic late 2000s comedy is what it is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
post 2010, this is what, like, the staple for American comedy is, this sort of humor and this sort of movie. Basic, simple, bit of drugs, bit of booze.
Yeah.
It's more crass and vulgar than stuff back in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Just that it's a staple comedy. Like, you're not going to, you're right. It's just a formula. You know exactly what's going to happen. You know when it's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. It's all there for you.
Yeah. And I've always got a time and place for this sort of movie. Like, when I went in to watch this film, I'd had a busy day. I had to sneak it in to get it in time to do this review. And, you know, when I do that with a film like Interstellar, or something a lot heavier.
Yeah, it's a bit
rough. Like, fuck, it's almost, if I'm not focused, I'm generally not gonna like it. And but with a movie like this, I can switch my brain off. I can just have a laugh, enjoy these people that are playing the characters they always play. So I know who they are already.
Yeah.
And I know where the story's going. So
no, you're totally right. Because I mean, like, just reflecting upon when we did the Boxing Day thing, never again. Where we did the four movies, yeah, or five movies or whatever the fuck it was in a week. It was some ridiculous amount of fucking time.
Yeah, it was four.
That was ridiculous. That was insane. Like, that was such a struggle to get through. And like, the movies that I enjoyed more watching were Night of the Museum and
Big Hero 6.
Like, Big Hero 6, because it was just such a breeze.
The easier watch. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And so, and because we were cramming them in, you know?
Yeah.
So it was fine. I did not mind at all. I was like, whatever, I'd cram it in. Doesn't bother me.
Hmm.
But as soon as it came to, like, The Hobbit or The Water Diviner, oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
you know, like, it was tough. It was a tough, it was a chore for sure.
That's, yeah, that you're point. Right. And it's funny, like, I, you know, a lot of, you know, film snobs out there will snub this kind of film,
yeah,
because of its formulaic presentation. But it's, there's a time, like I said, like, I can't not like a movie like this. Like, you know, like, yes, I can admit that it is, you know, it's easy to predict, and
yeah,
it's almost, I'm sure I've seen this film before somewhere, but it doesn't matter to me. Like, I like Will Ferrell, I like Kevin Hart, and I like what they brought to this film, and it stands alone in itself just that for me.
Yeah,
this is the movie that put Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell together. It's like Step Brothers was, you know, John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, and that's their thing, and it just happened to be fucking fantastic. You know, like, I probably wouldn't say that's formula. That was kind of a little bit different to most things, but it's still, you know, it still takes the same sort of beats that this film takes. Two people who generally don't like each other become good friends. Like, you know, that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, so and this is the sort of, these are the movies that I will buy, because they're the movies when I come home from a fucking long day, it's like, fuck, I just need to watch something easy. Up. Like, the other night I just watched 40-Year-Old Virgin.
That's a good film.
I'd been out all day. I had to go out to dinner. I had my parents in town. I just needed some fucking fish time. So I went and put that film on at like 11 o'clock at night, and it was fantastic. Like, it's just like an easy watch, a great movie, and sometimes that's all I need.
Yeah, I've heard, I've seen 40-Year-Old Version. I totally agree. It's such a fucking cool movie.
Yeah.
But in regards to Get Hard, you know, you're totally right. Like, I think I agree with you in almost every regard. Like, the film is just primitive in its storytelling. You know, it's very simple.
Yeah.
You don't expect anything. You don't expect any kind of anything special, because you don't expect this movie to be great. You just expect it to be a laugh, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just such a staple. It does nothing special. Does nothing. It's just there. It just kind of exists. It's got the same sort of jokes I'm adjusted to. And
yeah,
I'm a sucker for Will Ferrell, and I found him great. Kevin Hart was boring, though. Like, in my opinion, I really wasn't entertained by him. He didn't have. He wasn't good to me. Like, he just played the straight guy to Will Ferrell, you know.
And I think, yeah, you know, you're right. I actually did like him. I didn't think he was boring. Like, I brought up that scene where he's playing all the different characters in the yard and stuff. I found him funny, and I found his. But you're absolutely right. I didn't even think of it. He's the straight guy. Which I guess someone has to be. It's kind of like, you know, Lee to Agent Carter in Rush Hour. But
I mean, like, they both had, like, you know, Rush Hour was a good sort of place to go off, because they're kind of, you know, they're both straight guys in a way. Like, they both play the straight guys, and they do the same in this as well. I don't know, Kevin Hart doesn't have anything special about him in this that really made him stand out. He was just kind of boring to me in a lot of ways.
Well, maybe this is where I'm coming back. I feel like he really needs to just have a film where he can just fucking let go.
Yeah, exactly.
He can just go and be Kevin Hart and be crazy, be like the Eddie Murphy of this fucking era, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think he's got in him. Like we were saying before we did this podcast, he's probably one of the funniest guys getting around at the moment in the comedian world. Yeah, I don't know. I see where you're coming from, but I did like him though. I did like his character, and I liked what he brought to it. I like the fact that he's acting gangster and not really being gangster. I think there was enough comedy in that, but there's definitely room for much, much more. But being a Will Ferrell vessel, I feel like it was the Will Ferrell show, and he got to be Will Ferrell, and he got to be the dumb guy.
But he didn't get to let loose either. Like, Will Ferrell was held back too. I just wish there was more. Step Brothers has ruined me as a person. It's like one of my favorite movies. It's so fucking funny, and Will Ferrell in that movie is just perfect. Like, just perfect. Like, his character and his... Oh, and then I'm watching this and I'm like, oh my god, he's just not, because he's doing what he does in Step Brothers. He's doing the usual Ferrell style, but he's kind of holding it back a little bit, you know.
You reckon? I felt like for once he was kind of letting loose again, like he did in Step Brothers.
No, I really wanted more from him, just in a few ways anyway. Like, I just thought some things were not as funny as they could have been with Will Ferrell. I mean, like, look, I laughed, don't get me wrong. There were parts in this where I really laughed. I was with Reese, who thought this movie was quite good.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were laughing along with a few bits. But that was when Will Ferrell was letting loose. I just wanted more. I you know, there's the montage scenes of him being trained and shit, and it was just like, it just could have been so much more. Just go balls out, people. When they do the fucking strobe lights and he's like gets the shivs and he's losing his fucking mind with the shivs, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
like, that's a great moment where you hear him screaming and just flailing his arms around with these fucking shivs. But I just kind of wish, I wish there was a bit more to both of these comedians. It was the same with the other movie that did this was what was it? The one with Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis. He's the mayor.
The Campaign.
Campaign. Yeah, I thought it was the same. Like, I just thought they both characters in that could have been so much more, like, just so much more entertaining. And then you get the same sort of effect where you just get two funny comedians that are funny for some of it, and then the rest, I'm just kind of like, oh, come on. Like, I want to see more. I want to see you be even funnier. Do a thing. Do a thing. Yell. Swear some more. But yeah, I don't know.
Like, I totally agree with you with the Campaign. I feel like both of them were, especially Zach Galifianakis in that film, he was on a leash big time.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell was still pretty funny in that one, but not as funny as he can be. I don't know. I really think that Will Ferrell was, you know, almost tipping his peak here for me. I thought that because I do tend to get when, you know, older comedians come back and try to do what they used to do. I tend to get a little bit cynical. But I was just with this the whole way, and I feel like I was so satisfied by Will Ferrell in this movie that it made me not even, like, I didn't even realize that Kevin Hart was being the straight guy. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was so encaptured by him and what he did. And it took me back to Step Brothers. It took me back to Talladega Nights. You know, it took me back to even Anchorman to a certain extent. And I was like, this is up there with my favorite Will Ferrell performances. I really thought he brought it to this one, and it made me feel excited that he still got this, and I want to see a Step Brothers too.
Yeah. Fucking oath. I don't actually look. This, like, Get Hard overall is just a staple. I didn't expect much, so when I saw it, I wasn't like to anything. Like, this movie is just kind of American comedy white noise in a lot of ways for me, you know? Like,
yeah.
There's nothing really I'm going to be quoting from this at all. It doesn't stick out. I've been thinking about this a lot. And then because Will Ferrell is he's great. You either love Will Ferrell or you hate him. You know, you hear it all the time. Yeah, like, I'm not a Will Ferrell fan. Because he is involved in a lot of these sort of staple films, but he makes some fucking great shit.
Yeah.
Step Brothers is just such a different movie. It is so special. It's just so crazy in every single way.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
I think the thing with Step Brothers is just so relatable because we've all been a kid and we all, you know, get older and don't want to grow up. And, you know, we've some of us have had, you know, brothers or sisters, which you've had little rivalries with. So it's so relatable. And exactly. I think that's where it hit the nail on the head. Like, we can't really relate to the fact that, you know, he's a millionaire. Or going to prison. Like, it's but I still find it funny, but the magic of Step Brothers is that relatability.
Yeah, I definitely think Will Ferrell has done a lot better. I think he's doing a lot of these films, though. He's filming another one now that's gonna come out next year. And Kevin Hart's doing the same thing, he's killing it, he's paying off his mansion is what he's doing. Well, Jesus Christ.
He's definitely fallen into this little staple film. Yeah. And that's what I'm hoping it's that great. There's going to be one out there that's going to be that Step Brothers for him.
Yeah.
I'm
really glad they're doing it, you know, like, good on him. But I totally think that Will Ferrell has been a lot funnier in different films, you know?
Oh, look, this is definitely not the best, but I'm putting it in that realm. Like, he's definitely brought that game to this movie.
Oh yeah, it's still a Will Ferrell movie
vehicle, yeah,
for sure.
I will say this whole movie, like, there was very few jokes that didn't hit home for me. Like, I was laughing the whole way through it. Like, I can't even think of a joke where I was like, oh really, they went there, like, which I generally will. I don't know. I found every joke appealed to me. Like, some, you know, obviously some I'm laughing more at, but like every joke I was smiling with, you know, like.
Yeah, they were definitely that. None of the jokes were the too far or too much or of anything. The bit where he's trying to torment he's trying to start a fight in the park. He's flipping off the fucking people, and oh man, that was great.
And he's like so reluctant to, you know, say that. You fucked your mother or something like that. Yeah. He's like, says it like, I don't want to say this.
God, it's
those
funny.
Guys were fucking massive too. Holy shit.
Yeah, they're huge.
But one thing I will commend this film on, and I'd like to see where you stand on this one, but you've got a clashing of cultures, and there was so many times where it does racial sort of stereotypes and, you know, like, you know, staple racial jokes and sort of things like that. But I felt that they were quite tasteful in the use of the racism, if that makes sense. I was never like, oh man, did they go there? You know, sort of thing. But they definitely danced on the line a lot of times.
I think it's more to do with class than race in a lot of ways. Yeah. Like, it's about Will Ferrell being upper class. Will Ferrell's never racist. He's just arrogant. Like, he's just, ignorant. Yeah. He's just extremely fucking ignorant. Yeah. Like, he never, like, the protagonist isn't racist. There's definitely racist jokes in the film, but he isn't racist at all. And if I think there's one point where he is, and it's unintentional. Like, he's an idiot. He's ignorant about it. So I think you kind of feel better when you watch it because of this. I agree with you, though. It never felt like, I was never like, you know, oh, what a fucking like stupid joke. Like, what a cheap joke to say.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
right. Yeah.
Like, Kevin Hart isn't always like, I'm a black man. This is why I behave this way. Like, he never goes to that level, you know, like does those sort of generalizations, which is great.
Yeah. I think that's what I really liked about his character is the fact that he was just a person. He wasn't a black guy. He was a person.
Yeah.
And he's a person playing a gangster, you know, he's trying to be a gangster, like, to fit that stereotype. And I think that was kind of an interesting little message in itself. I really liked, even at the end, when they go to that, you know, that Nazi camp of all the bikers, or the white group.
Yeah.
That little thing could have gone so dark, you know, it could have,
yeah.
But it could have it could have gone really bad, but I thought the way they did it was quite tasteful. And even they even threw in like this little message. It was like, oh, you didn't expect a black man to be coming in here with the fire extinguisher. And then they kind of say, you know, some things about them being racist and stuff like that. But it's like, it never goes to a point where I'm like, exactly, a cheap laugh or, you know, you're never really having a go at any particular race. Even though a lot of the film is about singling out different demographics, like, you know, there's the black gang that he joins, and you know, there's the white gang that he has to go to because he's the white guy, and even the talk of Hispanics and stuff like that, it never goes to a place where it's not classy. It's funny, it teeters on a line, and it teeters on stereotype laugh, like jokes, more than anything. But it's I thought it was really well handled.
Yeah, no, I agree. They definitely did that well then.
But we got our when you go back to staple, let's, like, I'm just thinking even of you know, Let's Be Cops right now with the staple shootout at the end of end of the movie. And this is kind of the part where I didn't like the movie as much. I'll probably say I feel like it was kind of just a cop out ending with Will Ferrell using his skills that he'd gained, you know, doing the fucking Brazilian dance fighting or whatever it is. And and as funny as it was, like, I thought it was really kind of lame also when he throws Kevin Hart. It's like, you know, Kevin Hart's like, remember what we did in training? You know, lifting me? I was silly, like, what? Where is this going? I loved the shot of Kevin Hart flying through the air, but I thought it could have just been, you know, a better lead up to that.
For sure, I agree.
Well, yeah, other than that ending, I just kind of liked this movie.
Yeah, I think, look, I don't really know. There's not really much else I want to talk about in regards to this film. It's hard reviewing such a basic film sometimes, you know?
That's right.
We've done it before. Like, it's just, it gets tough sometimes because it's so, there's just so, sometimes such a little amount to talk about. Yeah. And this is one of those instances, I think, I definitely think it's just there, and it does what it's there to do, which is have some laughs, put Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell into a film, make some money, and it's done that, you know? Definitely not his best work. I had fun with it. Nothing special, nothing over the top. I just wish there was a bit more, you know? It could have been better. But have you seen Big Stan?
Yes.
This is Big Stan.
Rob Schneider.
Yeah, it's the same premise. The exact same premise. I haven't
thought of that movie for ages. That was a great movie. It is. Yeah, it is. It's exactly the same movie. Holy shit.
It's just the same premise. The exact same premise. Which was kind of a bummer for me because I really kept thinking about that and I was like, oh, come on, guys. You know, like... But look, I had fun. I give it a 3 out of 5. Yeah. Just average.
Well, listen, before I do my review, I want to... You said you went and saw it with our friend Reese.
Yes.
He did give us a little review on our little private chat on Facebook.
A little secret chat.
And we obviously can't talk about it with him, which I kind of felt bad about because he sent us a message telling us what he thought of the film, and we're both like, yeah, can't really talk about it. Sorry, man.
I know, I feel bad.
You'll have to listen to the podcast if you want to hear our
it's because you're in the fucking chat is why I can't say anything.
Yeah, that's right. But he did say, get hard, got me hard with some good laughs. 3 out of 5. I promised him we would bring it up in the podcast. There you go, Reese. You got your review on the show. Good on you, brother. Keep them coming.
And then the rest of the conversation was like, Connor, do you want to say anything? And I said, can't say anything until we've done the podcast. Otherwise, David will shun me. And Reese said, is that Melbourne guy? Yeah, his name was David, right? Reese wrote, Devard, I think. Might have been Doris. And then Reese wrote, Dora the Melbourne Explorer. And you just come out of nowhere and you write, his name is Cunt with a K. What?
That's our secret chat. Everybody's missing out on all this fun.
On the secret chat. And you're never going to know about the secret chat.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, back to Get Hard. I really like this film. I really liked the Will Ferrell thing, and it really brought me back to the Will Ferrell classics that I love and adore so much. And that in itself is a huge feat, because I won't say I was cynical. I was looking forward to it for sure, but I kind of just didn't know, because I haven't seen Will Ferrell do a role like this for such a long time. I thought it might come along a little bit, you know.
Yeah, no, I get you.
Just try hard, which was what I was worried about with Dumb and Dumber 2 as well. It's like these guys coming back to try and do what they did, and they don't really have it anymore. They're just yelling at the camera, which is pretty much what happened in this thing, but he yelled well. And I laughed a lot. Like I was in a full cinema. I only saw it yesterday, actually, and it was Monday. It's the first day of the school holidays down here, so it was packed and full of fucking teenagers and, you know, kids. But everybody was laughing along with it, and I found that to be a really good atmosphere for this sort of film. And I came out just being like just fucking happy. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm in such a good mood. I think I probably will quote this film. Like, I'll buy this for sure when it comes out. Like, I'll buy this for sure, because this will be that movie that I watch after going out to dinner and I'm not really tired. I just want to do something light. I'll put this on and I'll probably watch it over and over eventually, and I'll start to know the quotes and I'll start fucking yelling them at people, and people won't really understand what I'm saying. But, you know, it's good fun. And it actually beat my expectations, so that's saying a lot. I give it a 4 out of 5 because I thought it was fucking great.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I like it better than Dumb and Dumber 2, because I gave that a 4 as well. But I think it's definitely up there for you. It's definitely one of the best comedies I've seen in a long time. Let's just say that. I can't even think, what was the last good comedy that came out other than Dumb and Dumber?
I cannot tell you, to be honest. I cannot remember the last good comedy that came out.
Penguins of Madagascar.
Yeah, probably.
That was fucking funny.
Fucking love penguins. Ah, I keep yawning. Sorry. I fucking love penguins.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
That one's playing. We've got a lot of plays on that one. That one's like hit like nearly 300 plays.
Oh, yeah, what the hell? Why? Penguins episode. Why?
Yeah. People love penguins as well, apparently. But, all right, well, that's our review of Get Hard. Next week, what do we got, Connor McDuff?
Let me have a look.
It's Fast 7.
Oh, okay. I forgot. You put me on the spot. Like a deer in headlights. Fast 7!
Fast 7. This one is, you know, it's a pretty big deal around the traps. This is Paul Walker's final film in the franchise, and probably ever. It's exciting times ahead. I'm pretty pumped to get into this one. I'm actually going back and watching all the other Fast and the Furious films. I didn't find Fast and Furious on Netflix, but I did go buy the Blu-ray of it because I felt like I should own it anyway. And I even bought Fast and Furious, the number 4, which I don't really remember.
Fast and Furious is like bad.
I need to watch it again to really realize why it's so bad. I can't even remember it. I feel like I've blocked it out of my out of my mind. They really picked it up again with 5. 5 and 6 were fantastic. 7 looks like it's on the same round. So, but next week will be our 30th episode, Connor McDuff. Holy shit.
Yeah, what the fuck is happening?
30 weeks of podcasting. So we'll have to do something special for it.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
I don't know. You usually come up with some crazy ideas.
Well, I can't, like, I can't go anywhere.
We'll have to think of something cool to do with it. But it's a pretty big deal, so that'll be one of our biggest podcasts. Yeah. I think. Like, Fast 7's a pretty anticipated film, and hitting our 30 mark is, you know, a big deal. So
we're
on our way to 50.
We'll do something cray cray.
Something cray cray.
Absolutely cray cray. I don't know what.
All right. Well, until next week, kids, thank you for listening, and go see Fast 7. We're
We kind of have to as well, but we want to. make sure you share our stuff, please, as well. We'd really appreciate that. I'm a big fan of David and I, and we would love it if you were too. So if you listen to the end of this, you get a secret. That secret is share our. I don't know what I'm saying. I just want you to share this fucking podcast because we need more plays. So just share our stuff. Have fun. Have a great day. Drink lots of milk.
Yeah, don't keep it a secret. We want to share.
It's not a secret. Share it with your friends. Tell them how good looking I am. Tell them David's like a 6 out of 10. I'm more of an 8. I'm a solid 8. If you're into skinny guys. So, you know, it's all there for you. Have a great one. I'm going to go do a line of coke. Play the music, David.
Every motherfucker's here.
We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere.
We ain't going nowhere.
We can't even stop now. Cause it's bad work for life.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur Movie. Fish and Connoisseur Movie does not own any rights to the film Get Hard, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track Bad Boys for Life is performed by P. Diddy, Black Rob, and Mark Curry.
We ain't going
nowhere.
We gonna stay right here. We ain't going nowhere.
We gonna stay right here. Going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. We can't be stopped now. Cause it's bad boy for life.